Moving right along, Jeff Atkins. His official title is Principal of Affinity Consulting. They're very good sponsors of a session at this conference, by coincidence. 30 years in the general insurance sector. Another major title, though, also somehow or other combining two jobs in one man. He's been Principal Advisor for Financial Systems Inquiry, working part-time out of the Institute's headquarters. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jeff Atkins.
Thanks, Michael. The Actuaries Institute did ask me if I could say a couple of words about my work at the Financial System Inquiry. You may or may not know that the report's expected to go to the Treasurer this month, and there's not a lot of this month left. Unfortunately, if I tell you what's in the report, I go to prison. And I don't think it's worth it. Now, for the media people here, I respect the freedom of the press, and I just ask that you respect my freedom, please. So as Michael said, I've been doing 2 days a week at the Secretariat of the Inquiry pretty much for the whole of this year. And by the way, I've got my script here, if you'll forgive me, because if I stray from script, that's prima facie evidence of criminal behaviour. That actually followed an invitation from the Secretariat of the Inquiry to the Actuaries Institute to see if we could get an actuary to participate on the Secretariat. Now, I think as a member of our profession, I'd say, well, that's progress in itself. I was fortunate enough to get that gig, or unfortunate enough, as the case may be. I should say that anybody that worked for a prudentially regulated institution was not acceptable. So if people feel like they didn't hear about the chance, that may well be why. So my main roles in the Secretariat, I've had two jobs. First of all, I've been their insurance expert throughout the whole year, or as I refer to it up there, their insurance nerd. And then for the second half of the inquiry, I've been on their superannuation and retirement incomes team, which I tell you, for me, it's almost like being rebirthed, because the very beginning of my actuarial career long ago that I like to remember was in superannuation at one of our major institutions, and I haven't touched it for about 35 years. Anyway, great fun. So any of you that have just seen the interim report, may be aware that there were a lot of insurance issues raised in the submissions before the interim report, and indeed touched on in the interim report. So this is just a list of the issues, rather summarised as you can see, that were identified. I think it's fair to say that none of the general insurance issues were of major significance. The inquiry did not see any burning platform in general insurance. So there were 16 items mentioned. Down the left there, you'll see the ones that that were discussed in the interim report, and where comments would be welcomed. So there was nothing that looked like even a tentative recommendation in the interim report, but where ideas were raised seeking stakeholder feedback. Some of those issues are common to other parts of the financial services industry, some of the consumer issues such as disclosure, while some are just specific to general insurance. And home insurance caught the lion's share of the submissions and commentary about issues. Now, it's a long tradition in Australia that we have a financial systems inquiry every 16 years. At least there have been three, and they were 16 years apart. It's a bit like Canterbury Bankstown's successes in the NRL, which were, I think, every 10 years or every 14 years, except this year when my team did them in. Go Rabbits. So, back at the time of the Wallace Inquiry in 1997, when quite a number of you were quite possibly only in primary school, there were a lot of people that thought that insurance got dealt with in a pretty summary fashion, got short shrift. However, it was very shortly after Wallace, in 19, 1998 when APRA was formed, bringing together the Insurance and Superannuation Commission out of Canberra, the bank regulators out of the Reserve Bank, and all the state financial services regulators that had been responsible for friendly societies and credit unions and building societies. And at that time, the financial services reforms also started in earnest. Personal advice, general advice, AFS licences, PDSs, etc. And it was only a very short space of time after that before, of course, we had the collapse of HIH and its recently acquired FAI. So that was a tumultuous time. After all of those events, from a regulatory perspective, the insurance sector is very integrated with the rest of the financial system. I guess just the presence of APRA as a sector-wide prudential supervisor. And in ASIC, all the insurance things are dealt with in very similar manner to other financial services. So in the regulatory world, it's very integrated. But it's interesting to me, as I was looking through the submissions, that it is not integrated commercially. We have very little insurance in the scheme of things provided by substantial integrated financial services organisations. There are clearly exceptions, some of whom are quite proud of their exceptional status. But by and large, insurers and brokers are just not part of financial services conglomerates. So what does that mean? Well, I might come back to that a bit later when I have a couple of minutes on challenges. So during the Murray Inquiry, which I guess it will become known as, I was very reassured that insurance has had lots of airtime. And I guess that was really partly why I was asked to go and participate on the Secretariat. Banking has still attracted the lion's share of the attention, and no doubt will when the report's released. But I guess I can assure you that everyone working in the Secretariat, most of them economists and bankers, were very careful all the way through not to kind of miss insurance or not to say anything dumb about insurance. Now, of course, when the report's released, you can make your own judgments about that. I must say I've enjoyed the opportunity and I hope done justice to profession and the industry. So what about those challenges? I've got nothing new to say. The CEO's way ahead of me here. My top three. Number one, disruptive business models. Use of technology, new distribution. I'm thinking about where insurers live in all of that, and you still need to get the cars repaired. You still need to fix the house. You still need your APRA authorisation, which has got a lot of specialist skills and capital behind it. So in thinking about that, I see many insurers becoming even more a manufacturer or a wholesaler than a provider of retail products. I don't know if that's opportunities for certain people. I guess it's like, I think Estelle mentioned, that the disruptive activities are more likely to come outside the major current players. Although, if you're going to be a manufacturer for a major new digital distributor, you're going to need pretty substantial infrastructure. Supply chain's very important. All the systems and relevant skills. Enough on number one. My number two, which is still started on, is the challenge of scale and growth. We're not in a growing market for insurance. We're 2.5% of GDP. We have been up or down through cycles and we will be forever. The big are getting bigger. There's no signs of a reduction in capacity. As the world becomes slightly more globalised and technology improves, the perception of Australia as a little bit of free diversification in a sophisticated market is a very strong perception. There's a bit of brown pastures syndrome, I think, from some of the Americans and European insurers. And as Estelle said, how do the small keep up with the challenge of the technology and the analytics and the big data? I would just say on data, actually I won't, I'll save that till my next slide, because here's my number three. Back up. The challenge of data. it's actually not so much about the data that you've got. It's about data that other people own. That's where the big gains are to be made. And because insurers are not particularly integrated into financial services or other commercial sectors, you don't own any of that other data. And in fact, it's not necessarily that easy to get access to it. A lot of companies talk about monetizing their data. So, as my colleagues have really started to wind up in this field, one of the things that they've identified is that being able to access at an economical price the most valuable data is going to be one of the key things. Okay, now I can go on to number three. The challenge of execution. I'm going to quote one of my old colleagues here, Bruce Howe. He said, there's two types of insurance companies. There's those with good strategy and good execution, and there's those with good strategy and poor execution. So the challenge of execution still is really important in running a good insurance company. The customer service, the underwriting, the claims, the expense control. It's not particularly glamorous work, but boy, it's important. And that's where the difference comes between the better performing companies and those lesser performing. So I'm going to leave you at that point, Michael and audience, and let you move on.